My dad works in B2B marketing, but I never really knew what that meant. Then one day, my dad came by my school for career day and told everyone in my class he was a big ROAS man. Then he just kept saying things like, the bigger the ROAS, the better, over and over. My friends still laugh at me to this day. I think it means calculating a return on ad spend. One thing's for sure, I'll be known as the ROAS man's kid for the rest of my days. Why couldn't you just be a fireman or a lawyer? Why? You ruined my life, Dad.
Not everyone gets B2B, but LinkedIn has the people who do. And with ads on LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people based on job title, industry, likelihood to buy, and more. Start converting your B2B audience into high-quality leads today. We'll even give you a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/customer to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/customer. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
Hey, this is Christina Quinn. I'm the host of Try This, the Washington Post's new series of audio courses. The idea behind Try This is to become better functioning humans without having to comb the internet for countless hours. In our first course, we learned how to sleep better. Now, we're going to learn how to make our friendships stronger. I'll offer expert tips that are doable, and I'll keep it short. So let's do this. Classes in session. Find Try This from the Washington Post wherever you listen.
Hello and welcome to another episode of The Mark Moss Show, where we talk about Bitcoin, we talk about the decentralized revolution that the world is going through, and we look at it through the lens of things that we can observe, like politics, finance, technology, and there's no shortage of things to be talking about, that's for sure, right now. The world is rapidly changing. I am joined in the studio by a good friend today, Jessica. You can find her on Twitter, at Jessica Hodler, H-O-D-L-R. If you want to give her a follow and say what's up. But Jessica, thanks for joining me today.
Well, thanks so much for having me. I'm really excited to be here.
So we have been having some technical difficulties here in the studio. We'll go ahead and just tell you guys because we're both a little bit frazzled here. I have been running around like crazy making videos. I've already done several hours of content today and I got several more hours to go. We had technical difficulties in the studio, couldn't get the cameras up and running, and Jessica and I even had to start recording, and it wasn't recording, so we're starting over. So, the joy of doing this. But you know, I remember I've been making content specifically like for video content. I started my YouTube channel in 2018, and so Bitcoin had topped out in 2017, and then it crashed famously from almost 20,000, 19,000 and change. And then, you know, January of 2018 and on it went down. I actually started writing a cryptocurrency research newsletter in 2016. So I was already researching and writing it, but I didn't start doing like content on YouTube until 2018. And then through that year of 2018, you know, January it was coming down and February and March, and we kept thinking it's going to go back up. There's still like a lot of excitement because 2016, 2017 were so amazing. But by the end of 2018, it was like, oh my gosh, like, I don't know if this is ever coming back. And then we go into like 2019, and now we have like a year and a half of this. And it got to a point where I was like, on YouTube, I'm like, what the heck am I even going to talk about? Like, there's like nothing going on. It's like completely dead. And I was like searching for topics, but yet now here we are. And it's like, I'm making like multiple videos a day. I mean, it's insane, isn't it?
Yeah, being busy is definitely not a bad thing. That's for sure.
Yeah, but I'm just talking about with just the amount of content to cover. I mean, to stay on top of what's going on, it's like a full-time job right now because it's all moving so fast.
Yeah, it's absolutely insane what's going on.
The one thing I've been seeing is all the markets are melting down, of course, right? But the cryptocurrency space, the Bitcoin space, is not immune to that. When we did our fake attempt at recording before, you were just talking about, before I cut you off, how you were on a session, I think with BTC Sessions, which shout out to BTC Sessions, by the way. If you want to learn how to learn more about the technical side of Bitcoin, like how to use, you know, your own self-storage, your own cold storage, your own Bitcoin node, things like that, no better follow than BTC Sessions. You can check them out on YouTube. But anyway, so you're talking about how you were on a sessions with him and you guys were all kind of enjoying, I guess. Is that the word? You were enjoying watching the price of Bitcoin crash?
Well, so it hadn't gone down to 22, 21 yet. So we were saying like, oh, you know, we need to see it go lower. We need to see more blood in the streets. Maybe, you know, people need to get wrecked in order to understand like what the Bitcoin maxis are saying, because we're so toxic, you know. And then it came down.
But from that standpoint, the crypto people need to get wrecked a little bit to get to see kind of the Bitcoin maxi viewpoint. But Bitcoin maxis are down 70% as well. So aren't Bitcoin maxis getting wrecked just like the crypto bros?
I mean, for me, this is an incredible buying opportunity. I think this is once in a lifetime since 2017, especially since we reached 69. Almost 70, and now we're down to 21. And this is the time where you can stack sats, build generational wealth at a discount.
When did you start buying and really getting involved and paying attention?
So it was 2016, and it was just me. I would talk to my friends about it, and they'd be like, "What? You're insane." And for me, I mean, it was just, okay, like, I'm just going to buy some and hold it, and I'm never going to sell. And this is before I was even on Twitter, like seeing the never sell diamond hands and all that stuff. And then I saw that it hit like 20,000 in 2017 and then didn't pay attention to the price. And then when I got onto Twitter in 2021, that's when I like really started paying attention, you know, joining the community and stuff.
Yeah. So then you, I was looking at this report here of the seven biggest drawdowns in Bitcoin's history, which in June 2011, that was a big one, but that was like when it had just got started, Mt. Gox-Feld. So like kind of take that one out. It's like an outlier. In 2012, we saw it drop 56%. 2013, we saw it dropped 83%. So that was no joke. So that was right around the time it was on my radar. And I was going to buy in 2013, and it was going up, 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 and then it crashed. And then I decided not to buy. I didn't get in until 2015. And so then we have December 2017 through December 2018, which we were talking about before. It dropped 84%. So you got in early. You saw it go from, I don't know, 2016. I don't know if it was $500-$600, probably something like that. I'm just guessing, up to 20,000, and you felt really rich. And then you watch it go 84% down, all the way down to wherever it ended up dropping down. I don't know, around $4,000 or $5,000 or $6,000, something like that. How was that? Give us some more stories or some what was going through your mind.
Honestly, it was just literally just me and my mom talking about it, and we would just say to each other, okay, like it doesn't matter. We're just gonna hold on to it. Like we know this is life changing. Digital gold money. And really at that point, what kept us in the game was like, we know this is freedom money. We know this is going to change the world. This is going to change people's lives. And so we would literally just say to each other, we're never selling.
So you really thought that back then? You had that much conviction?
Oh yeah.
Wow. That's pretty good.
Oh, for sure.
I'll admit, when I started buying in 2015, I was, looking for a way to get money out of the United States banking system. So I was working on going into Panama and setting up a trust in Panama, putting money in the Panamanian bank, if that's the right word, Panamanian bank. And I was doing that so I could get residency and work on a way to citizenship, which I know you help people with. And so I just said, but then I looked at Bitcoin again and I was like, well, that's kind of the same thing. I can get money out of the bank. And then I started buying it. And then as I started learning more, I was like, this is a tool. This is how we can win. This is how we can defeat the Federal Reserve, you know, get rid of this money printer, cartel that they have. And so I got to tell everybody I know about it. And I did. And so I haven't shut up since. Here I am still talking about it. But then, you know, I admit, right, 2016, I got into the crypto space and I fell into the, you know, it's not Bitcoin, it's blockchain, I'll admit. And so in 2017, I think by the end of 2017, it was already starting to kind of be clear that Bitcoin was definitely breaking out from the rest of the crypto space. I can't remember if I was all in like you, where I was like, this for sure is going to be life changing or not. But I guess I was, because I never sold. I've never really... I traded a bunch away, you know, through my crypto phase, and mm-hmm. I wish I can go back and get a redo on that, but I can't. But you know, other than that, I never sold anything.
Honestly, I think what kept me from getting into the whole coinery stuff was because when it popped, I was in college, so I didn't even have time to like look at anything else. So it really, that was good. You were me.
You were distracted. By the way, you're listening to the Mark Moss Show. We are talking about Bitcoin. We're talking about cryptocurrencies. We're talking about the decentralized revolution. I'm in the studio with a good friend, Jessica. You can find her on Twitter at Jessica Hodler. That's H-O-D-L-R. We got a lot more to talk about, talking about some of these big drawdowns in Bitcoin's history and some other big breaking news when we get back. We'll be back in just a minute, so don't go away.
My dad works in B2B marketing, but I never really knew what that meant. Then one day, my dad came by my school for career day and told everyone in my class he was a big ROAS man. Then he just kept saying things like, the bigger the ROAS, the better, over and over. My friends still laugh at me to this day. I think it means calculating a return on ad spend. One thing's for sure, I'll be known as the ROAS man's kid for the rest of my days. Why couldn't you just be a fireman or a lawyer? Why? You ruined my life, Dad.
Not everyone gets B2B, but LinkedIn has the people who do. And with ads on LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people based on job title, industry, likelihood to buy, and more. Start converting your B2B audience into high-quality leads today. We'll even give you a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/customer to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/customer. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
Hey, this is Christina Quinn. I'm the host of Try This, the Washington Post's new series of audio courses. The idea behind Try This is to become better functioning humans without having to comb the internet for countless hours. In our first course, we learned how to sleep better. Now, we're going to learn how to make our friendships stronger. I'll offer expert tips that are doable, and I'll keep it short. So let's do this. Class is in session. Find Try This from the Washington Post wherever you listen.
With dozens of streaming services, box office films, and content to choose from, people are spending over 2.5 years of their lives searching for what to watch. But The Hollywood Reporter brings you THR Charts, one place for you, your family, and friends to find the most watched TV shows and movies every week. THR Charts is a guide to help you spend less time scrolling through platforms so that you can spend more time watching and binging the content everyone is talking about, all supported by data and trusted sources like Nielsen, Comscore, and Paired Analytics. Check out THR Charts on HollywoodReporter.com.
All right, welcome back. You are listening to the Mark Moss Show, and we are talking about Bitcoin. We're talking about the decentralized revolution that we are witnessing right now, and more specifically, talking about the meltdown that's happening in the overall markets and, of course, in the cryptocurrency and Bitcoin space. I'm in the studio with a good friend, Jessica. You can find her on Twitter at Jessica Hodler. And before the break, we were talking about our experience of going through the last time that we saw Bitcoin break down in a big way. We're talking about back in 2017, we're actually really into 2018. It crashed at a high in December 2017, so it was 2018. And I was kind of giving my perspective. And before the break, Jessica was saying how she didn't really transition from Bitcoin into the rest of the crypto space because she was so busy with college, she never got a chance to. I think that was about right.
Yep, that's exactly what happened.
Yeah. Well, being busy was good for you, I suppose, because like I said, I traded away so much Bitcoin chasing all these other altcoins, and I did good with them. But overall, if I could have a redo, I would just go back and just keep the Bitcoin that I originally bought. And if I would have done that, I'd been in such a better place. Of course, we don't get redos in life, unfortunately, but what we can do though, is make sure we don't make the same mistakes twice. And so that's what I do. So we had that one in December 17 to 2018. That was an 84% drawdown. March 2020, that was the, when the whole world got locked down, it fell 50%. And then May 2021, it fell 53%. And now here we are down about 70%. So you've been through one, both of us have been through one 84% drawdown. Right now we're sitting at about, at the time of this is, was it 21,000, 21.5 today right now, which is about a 70% drawdown from its high.
Yeah. That's exactly what it is.
Yeah. And so, if it were to go down to its worst previous drop, which is 85%, that would bring it down to about 10,000. Are you prepared for that?
Oh my gosh, that would be insane. And I mean, that's just an incredible opportunity.
Yeah, I remember March 2020 pretty vividly. Obviously, it wasn't that long ago, 2 years ago. And I remember like seeing the entire, I've been waiting for the financial markets to crash for a long time. And so it's like this confirmation bias, I suppose. And when it all started falling apart in March 2020, I was like, this is it. It's over. Like the whole, not just Bitcoin, but the entire financial markets. Like it's going down. They're locking down the world. The markets can't take this, et cetera. And I remember watching Bitcoin plunge and drop 50%, and it was like 4,000. I think it went all the way to like 3,800. And I was literally watching TradingView at the time, watching it go down. I can remember exactly like where I was sitting and everything. And it was pretty scary. I'm going to be honest. I didn't back up the truck and start buying. I think I started buying at maybe as it was coming back up at like maybe 45 or 5,000 ish, something like that. I don't know. I remember being pretty dang scared.
Yeah, no, for sure. And I mean, it's definitely not for the faint of heart. But I mean, once you read and understand and see and what it can provide the world with, I mean, it's kind of hard to ignore.
Yeah. Yeah, but I mean, it's impossible to ignore the benefits that it's bringing to the world if you spend the time to look at it, right? So there's still so many people that say there's no use case, for sure. Which is just absolutely insane. I suppose if you've never left the United States in your life and you're ordering $8 lattes, you might have that viewpoint. But if you've ever been outside the United States, to think that there's no use case at all, it's just insane, wouldn't you think?
Oh, no, absolutely. You would have to be living under a rock to think it has no use case.
Yeah. What would you say some of the biggest use cases are that you see that really prove how valuable it is?
I mean, especially with the Lightning Network, how quickly and practically free you can send money. Anyone can have access to it. You don't need to show an ID, open a bank account, et cetera, in order to use it. It's unconfiscatable and permissionless money.
Yeah. I think that first part that you said, you don't have to show ID. So it's permissionless. So Bitcoin is borderless and it's trustless, but it's permissionless. And so, right now, per the UN, I think there's about 2 billion adults in the world today that don't have access to banking. 2 billion adults, it's about half, maybe a little bit more than half of the adults in the world. And the reason why they don't have access to banking, for the most part, most of them, is they don't have permission to join. If you're a 15-year-old kid born in Iran, for example, you're not allowed to join the financial system. In some places like El Salvador, they can join it, but it's so expensive that they can't afford to join it. And so Bitcoin is permissionless. Anybody can join it, and it's free. And that's a big deal, right?
Yep. Oh, I think it's a beautiful thing. I mean, for half of the adult population to have an opportunity to even accumulate and save some sort of wealth is just unheard of, especially now with the money printer going on.
Yeah. I look at the smartphone and I think about that being like one of the greatest equalizers. Everybody's talking about equality, right? And which is a whole different conversation. But I think the smartphone is one of the greatest equalizers, because no matter where you're at in the world, you could learn anything, you could meet anyone, you could do anything. And for the first time, a kid with a smartphone could, you know, start an Instagram account and make $100,000. And so it's an equalizer, but not if that kid can't join the financial system.
Yep.
Right?
And Bitcoin fixes that.
And Bitcoin fixes that. So it was cool. Have you been down to El Salvador?
I haven't. I've been wanting to, but just haven't been able to yet.
Well, I was thinking about making another trip down there this summer, so I'll keep you posted on that. But
oh, yeah, please do.
You know, when I was down there, I was shocked, and I've been down there multiple times on surf trips, but I was down there specifically working with Bitcoin Beach. It amazed me that, you know, a lot of these people, they don't have bank accounts because it's so cost prohibitive, and so they need, you know, $50 a month or whatever to start a bank account, and they don't make that much to justify that. And also, even a lot of the, like, some of these poor areas, you know, they have, you know, roadside stands selling pupusas or coconuts or whatever, and they don't do that much business. And so they don't do enough business to justify a point of sale or a credit card account. And so you have all these little stores that can't get merchant systems or credit cards, and then you have all these people who can't get in the banking system. So basically none of them can get into the global economy. They're stuck in a local economy. And back to that, you know, kid with a Instagram account analogy, without having access to the global markets, you're stuck in that local area. And of course, Bitcoin fixes that. You're listening to The Mark Moss Show. We are talking about Bitcoin. We're talking about the decentralized revolution that the world is going through as Bitcoin changes politics, finance, and technology in the world as we know it. I'm in the studio with a good friend, Jessica. You can find her on Twitter at Jessica Hodler. That's H-O-D-L-R. We're talking about, unfortunately, talking about Bitcoin melting down, the depths of Bitcoin and our experience with it. We're talking about the use case, and we'll talk about where it's going. And we got some really big stories to cover when we come back in a minute, specifically talking about the flip side of a world without it and bank runs that are happening in China right now. We'll be back with that and more in a minute, so don't go away.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
The best conversations I have with my colleagues are the ones that happen when no one is looking, when we're not 100% sure yet what to write.
Hopefully, having conversations like this can help you figure out your own point of view. That's kind of our job as Washington Post opinions columnists. I'm Charles Lane, Deputy Opinion Editor.
And I'm Amanda Ripley, a contributing columnist. We're going to bring you into these conversations on a new podcast called Impromptu.
Follow Impromptu now, wherever you listen.
With dozens of streaming services, box office films, and content to choose from, people are spending over 2.5 years of their lives searching for what to watch. But The Hollywood Reporter brings you THR Charts, one place for you, your family, and friends to find the most watched TV shows and movies every week. THR Charts is a guide to help you spend less time scrolling through platforms so that you can spend more time watching and binging the content everyone is talking about, all supported by data and trusted sources like Nielsen, Comscore, and Paired Analytics. Check out THR Charts on HollywoodReporter.com.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feeling Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
All right, welcome back. You are listening to the Mark Moss Show, and we are talking about Bitcoin. We're talking about the decentralized revolution. We're talking about through the lens of politics, finance, and technology to help things bring things into context so we can understand them in the world today. And of course, there's no shortage of information. I'm in the studio with Jessica. You can find her on Twitter at Jessica Hodler. That's H-O-D-L-R. And we were talking about the pain that we're seeing in the Bitcoin and the cryptocurrency space and kind of comparing it to some previous crashes. So the last time we've seen Bitcoin and the cryptocurrency market crash this hard was back in 2017, where Bitcoin saw about an 83% drawdown. Jessica was saying how that, she just held because she saw some of these benefits, and we were talking about some of these benefits such as permissionless and how that's a big deal in the world. You know, one of the other things, Jessica, that I see as a big benefit is that for the first time in history, or for the history of mankind, we can hold our wealth in a way that can't be confiscated. And so what we've seen, when banks collapse throughout history, people lost all their money in the banks. We're seeing that happen in the cryptocurrency space right now. People had their money in platforms like Celsius, and they can't get their money back out of that. People had their money in Terra Luna stablecoin, and they can't get their money back out of that. But if you hold your money in Bitcoin, or I should say not your money in Bitcoin, but if you're holding Bitcoin and you're holding it yourself, there is really no chance in losing that if you do it correctly, right?
Yeah, and it's all dependent upon self-responsibility. If you hold your keys, you hold your coins, and if you practice keeping your Bitcoin in safe spaces, then that's upon you. If you hold it on an exchange, then you're not holding your Bitcoin, and it's an IOU.
Right. And what I say is, like, that's the whole benefit of it. For the first time in history, we can store our wealth in a way that can't be confiscated. But anytime you give your asset to somebody else, there's counterparty risk, and so you run the risk of losing that. And so that's what's happening in the cryptocurrency space, like I said, with Celsius and with Terra Luna, et cetera. The problem is that while those things are much more risky, and maybe while you weren't taking the risk with those, unfortunately, when those blow up, they bring that risk to your front door.
Yep, unfortunately so.
Right. And I guess, as long as you can have that long-term perspective, then you can be okay, but it's tough. It's tough for a lot of people who have been in the short term.
Yeah, it's all about having that long-term horizon and zooming out. If you have a four-month timeline, you might see an 80% drop. But if you're on a 10-year timeline, then, you just see it go up.
Yeah. Yeah. I think, one thing, it's easy to get that long-term perspective, when you've been in it for a long term. It's probably much harder if you've been in it for a short period of time, but you can just look back through history. And what we've seen is that there's never been, I believe it's a 3-year period where you would have been underwater. So if you would have bought the last high in December of 2017, we're talking about at about 19,000, it took about just under 3 years, I think it was like 2.9 years, to get back to 20,000 again. And so with real estate, you would typically say something like, don't buy real estate that you don't plan on holding for at least 5 years. And so with Bitcoin, it's kind of like, well, don't buy Bitcoin that you plan to need in less than 3 years. Do you think that kind of a mindset helps out?
Yeah, I think it does. And, during times like this, if, you just put your head down, you're building, you're stacking sats. I think it's easier to see it through that lens, especially if you're reading, like Gigi, Marty Bentz, and talking about real estate. If you had bought in 2020, you have people who are doubling their money in 2 years.
Right. Yeah, so it's just about having that perspective that really makes a big difference. And having that long-term time frame. I think about it back to kind of like real estate. If I told you that, in 5 years from now, we're going to build this new stadium outside of town, and if you went and bought lots, land around that area, when that stadium's built, it's going to be worth a lot of money. But let's say that you did, and then a year from now, the lots that next to where you bought are down. They're cheaper than what you paid for. Well, would you panic? And would you sell your lot? Well, you don't know. The answer would be, well, is that stadium still going to be built? How, are they working on permits? Have they got plans? Have they got their funds? Are they doing construction? And as long as that's still on track, then you would want to continue to hold. And maybe you would even buy that other lot that came up for cheaper. If you found out there was like nuclear waste on the land and they could never build there, then maybe you would sell right away. And so when you're looking at Bitcoin through that lens, is there anything that's broken with the network itself? Have they found nuclear waste with Bitcoin, or is it still on track with where we think it's going? I mean, what would you say about that?
Well, it's interesting because Saylor actually recently said, if I gave you $100 billion to build another Bitcoin, you couldn't. So I feel like that's a pretty powerful statement. And I mean, you can see that people are constantly building. People are using it. And I feel like also the adoption trend is really important. The more people that come into Bitcoin and the more people that want it, obviously, the price is going to affect that. So,
yeah, no, that's a good point. I first kind of learned about this by Andreas Antopoulos, and he basically kind of made the same point as well, where like Bitcoin's kind of like this anomaly where it was created over a decade ago when nobody knew anything about it, nobody cared. And that allowed it to grow, in the wild and get stronger. And it got stronger because of the decentralization. So more and more and more people started running nodes, and more people started mining it. And all that mining power has made it so strong and made it resistant to attack. And nobody knew about it. Nobody cared about it. So nobody tried to attack it. The problem is today is everybody knows about it. And so smaller chains that have tried to copy,
yes.
tried to copy what Bitcoin have done, they don't have the network, they don't have the miners, they don't have the nodes, and so they're easy to attack. And people do, people can rent hash power, attack them, double spend them. But Bitcoin is too big for that now. So kind of to the point that you made or that Michael Saylor was making, there's no way to recreate that today because everybody would know what you're doing, and it would be attacked and killed before it would be able to grow and be strong enough.
Yep, that's exactly right. And I don't feel like people can wrap their minds around the true positiveness about decentralization because, I mean, they deal with banks every day and they're just used to the central banking system. And I feel like some people can't really see the true power of decentralization.
Yeah. Well, and they don't know what that means. They probably haven't even taken the time to think through that. Mm-hmm. It seems like a big problem that I see in the world today where people are kind of parroting headlines that they see and they've never actually taken the time to think through that. Do you see that being a big problem?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, in this is separate of Bitcoin also. You just have people parroting other people's ideas just because they want to, virtue signal. And people don't do their own due diligence. They don't do their own research because they're told not to. And
maybe I used to be more guilty of that, being that now, I get so many comments across all these platforms, thousands of comments a week. I have to be more careful of what I say, which has been good. So it makes me think about it. But a lot of times, even today, I'm a little bit guilty of it in a sense where like I'll be flipping through Twitter, right? And somebody will make this like really compelling statement. And I might go, wow, that's true or that's right. And like, dang, that's good. I hadn't thought about that. But then what I do is I go through all the comments, and the comments are great. Twitter's great for this because then I can find all these comments of people arguing against it. It's like every post is almost a debate, And then you see all these other viewpoints and you're like, dang, I didn't think about that. Well, actually, so I thought I agreed with that headline and I had that opinion, but now I see the flip side. I see a difference. Twitter's great for that. You're listening to The Mark Moss Show. And speaking of Twitter, I have Jessica on with me right now. You can find her on Twitter at Jessica Hodler. That's HODLR. And of course, if you're not following me on Twitter, then you should be. And that's at number 1 Mark Moss. That's just the number 1, just the numeral 1 Mark Moss. We're talking about Bitcoin. We're talking about the decentralized revolution. And I want to talk more about what happens when you lose money to the bank. We'll be back with that and more in a minute, so don't go away.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks,
Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cash back on purchases. And pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
There's a lot happening these days, but I have just the thing to get you up to speed on what matters without taking too much of your time. The 7 from the Washington Post is a podcast that gives you the 7 most important and interesting stories, and we always try to save room for something fun. You get it all in about 7 minutes or less. I'm Hannah Jewell. I'll get you caught up with the 7 every weekday. So follow the 7 right now.
With dozens of streaming services, box office films, and content to choose from, people are spending over 2.5 years of their lives searching for what to watch. But The Hollywood Reporter brings you THR Charts, one place for you, your family, and friends to find the most watched TV shows and movies every week. THR Charts is a guide to help you spend less time scrolling through platforms so that you can spend more time watching and binging the content everyone is talking about, all supported by data and trusted sources like Nielsen, Comscore, and Paired Analytics. Check out THR Charts on HollywoodReporter.com.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feelin' Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
All right, welcome back. You are listening to The Mark Maas Show, talking about Bitcoin, talking about the decentralized revolution and how the world is changing right before our very eyes. Of course, Bitcoin is it's in a downtrend right now. It's painful, but you got to maintain focus, eyes on the prize, as they say. I'm in the studio with my good friend Jessica. You can find her on Twitter at Jessica Hodler, H-O-D-L-R. Now, Jessica, you know, we were talking about when you give your money to somebody else, it creates counterparty risk. And so people that put their money into Celsius, people that put their money into Terra Luna token, or people that leave their money in the bank, like in Cyprus when it collapsed. And one thing I saw this week that was pretty crazy, actually just today, was in China. Now, China, for a lot of people don't know, China's got serious, serious problems on their hands. They have a massive debt crisis. They make the United States debt crisis look tame. But they have, it's a bigger problem than just the debt crisis because of all the other crises they have. Like what? Like energy. They don't have any energy. They have to import 85% of their energy. The U.S. has energy. Most of their food import inputs to make the food have to be imported, so they can't even make the food. So they have energy crisis. They have a food crisis. They have a water crisis. They don't have any natural water like the United States. We have big lakes. They don't have that. And whatever water they have has been massively contaminated. And then the biggest and worst problem is they have a massive demographic cliff. 40 years of one-child policy has made it where now they have all boys under 40 years old and a very small population. About half of the Chinese population will be gone in 25 years. It's a massive, massive problem. Of course, as the money supply grows and the people grow, you have massive growth. When money supply goes down and the population goes down, it's a problem. And so China has all these problems. And now there's a there was a bank run this week. And the bank run, what happens is when, just like what happened with Terra Luna, when too many people go to get their money out, because they're afraid they're not going to get it back, they want to be the first one there to get it. If too many people go to pull their money out, then there's not enough to go around, and it creates a run. And that's exactly what happened in China, where people were going to pull their money out of the bank, and it could have created a big problem for China, but China solved it in a way that we haven't seen before, in a way that wasn't so good. And it says that China's bank run victims planned to protest. They were going to have a protest, but then their COVID health passports turned code red. So this, we talk about this credit score system, and basically what happened is, in order to prevent the people from getting together and creating this protest, everyone turned red, which then means they were deemed to be high risk, and then they were banned from any public venues, and they broke that down. Now people like had put their life savings in the bank and they couldn't get it out, and now they can't even protest. I mean, is that a dystopian world or what, Jessica?
Yeah, I mean, that's insane. And I mean, hint, this is why you have unconfiscatable and permissionless money. Yeah. And it's insane because this has been happening in China for a while, and they've been holding people hostage in their homes because of COVID. And then people were starving to death that they ended up throwing themselves out of their apartments because they were so hungry. And now they have these health apps that show either green or red, with green meaning that you're able to go places. Yeah. And your freedom of movement is strictly dictated by this color code system that was implemented by the government. And just FYI, this is what the World Economic Forum wants. And conveniently enough, they had just their meeting in Davos. And they talk about this all the time. But as you were saying with the red code, this is usually assigned to people that are infected by COVID. So coincidentally enough, all those people that were trying to protest the banks were flagged red and they weren't able to go.
Yeah, it's crazy. It says here that this guy, they're talking about how to put his life savings, about 6 million won or about almost $900,000 into a bank, hasn't been able to draw a penny over the past 2 months. Thousands of depositors like him have been fighting to recover their savings from at least four banks. In late May, hundreds of them traveled to Xinjiang from across China and staged a protest outside the office. Another protest was planned for Monday. But as the depositors arrived, they were stunned to find that their health codes, which were green upon departure, had now been turned red. and then they were taken into quarantine by guards and locked up. Interesting.
Yeah, and it's pretty crazy because you're immediately banned from all public venues and transport. And like they were subject to weeks of government quarantine. And this quote-unquote health app that they're implementing is more like a good citizen app. And it's getting to a point where, like, we joke on Twitter all the time, oh, if you tweet something that's like opposing your government, they're gonna say, oh, you tweeted this today, you're not allowed to go to the grocery store, right, or go outside. But you actually have these people who are actually experiencing it.
Yeah, I mean, that's exactly what happened, right? It's like And I don't know exactly how that happened. Like, most likely they probably didn't tweet about that they were going to the protest. It probably picked up on their location. It was probably tracking them, right? Well, China has a social credit score system. Sure. So it might have been a combination of seeing what they talked about on social media, articles they had read. Maybe they booked a plane ticket, a hotel room, and then they had their location. And then they're like, okay, these people are going to do this. Shut them down.
Yep. No, it's like Big Brother. And it's really sad because these government officials will probably never see the day where they're held accountable because their power is omnipotent.
Yeah. And, you know, this is what many of us are warning of, that this whole goal to put our whole lives into a passport, install this credit score system is what's coming. And we warn that this is exactly how it can be used. And, you know, I think, you know, a lot of people are like, oh, no, it would never be used that way. It's only going to be used for good, which maybe they have good intentions. The problem is giving anybody that much power over your life, eventually somebody will probably use it for bad intentions. And also, what is good and what is bad, right? Like, for them, their version of bad, for the Chinese government, their version of bad is having anybody say anything about having their money stolen. That's bad. But to me, that would be good. Like, if someone stole my money, I should be able to speak out about it. And so you can see that good and bad are different things to different people.
Yep, no, for sure. And it's like we say, if you give too much power to the government in a crisis, they'll create more crises in order to take more power.
Yeah, that's exactly what's happening. On a different note about taking power, we did see that in Canada, it looks like they're finally about to lift their restrictions. So that's pretty good. For anybody that doesn't know, if you haven't taken the vaccine in Canada, you're not even allowed to leave the country. So that's pretty big news. Now, one thing that says that if you have a dual citizenship, then you're most likely okay to leave with a non-Canadian passport. I know that's something that you work on a little bit.
Yes, and we've actually been working with a lot of Canadians lately, just because, you know, they don't want to be forced to make certain medical decisions. So they've been very interested in second passports, and we've been helping them.
Yeah. I mean, having a second passport, it's kind of like insurance where, you know, insurance is a waste of money until you actually need it. but then when you need it, you're sure as heck glad you have it, right? And I would imagine a second passport is somewhat similar. It's kind of a waste of money until you actually need it. And then, like, you might need it for your life, which these Canadians have found out about.
Yeah, no, for sure. A second passport is a hedge against your government.
Yeah, hedge against your government, right? And even in the United States, I mean, just look at what happened with COVID. The United States passport went from being one of the best passports in the world to being one of the best, or I'm sorry, the worst passports in the world, where no country would have you with a U.S. passport. If you want to know more about that, check out Jessica's company at PlanBPassport.com, PlanBPassport.com. You're listening to The Mark Moss Show. We've been talking about Bitcoin. We've been talking about the decentralized revolution. I've been in the studio with my friend Jessica. You can find her on Twitter at Jessica Hodler, H-O-D-L-R. And of course, I'm on Twitter at OneMarkMoss. If you're not following me, then what are you even doing? So give us a follow, give us a shout out, say what's up. We're trying to cover the play-by-play here, talking about Bitcoin, cryptocurrencies, and the decentralized revolution. The biggest thing we'll ever see in our life, and it's a little bumpy right now, but together we'll get through it. But that's what I got for you today. Thanks so much for listening. We'll see you next time.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
With dozens of streaming services, box office films, and content to choose from, people are spending over 2.5 years of their lives searching for what to watch. But The Hollywood Reporter brings you THR Charts, one place for you, your family, and friends to find the most watched TV shows and movies every week. THR Charts is a guide to help you spend less time scrolling through platforms so that you can spend more time watching and binging the content everyone is talking about, all supported by data and trusted sources like Nielsen, Comscore, and Paired Analytics. Check out THR Charts on HollywoodReporter.com.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like Eco-Eye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feelin' Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
The wait is almost over. Get ready for the 2024 NFL season as the full schedule is announced. Bring it! Every rivalry, every rematch, every rookie debut, every game revealed. The 2024 NFL schedule release, presented by Verizon, coming in May. Live on NFL Network, ESPN2, and streaming on NFL Plus. Terms and conditions apply to NFL Plus. Visit NFL.com/schedule release to learn more.